Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Big dog on campus. Ghost to be UTPB therapy dog. One of the newer members of the Falcon family is Ghost, a therapy dog who will ultimately serve the whole campus. J.C. Osmus, an assistant professor of counseling and interim director of university mental health and wellness, is Ghost's mom. She previously had a support animal named Goggles, who passed away in April. I've had an emotional support animal myself since I was 17. I have pretty severe anxiety myself, and I lost him in April, and I noticed a steep decline in my mental health. My best friend and my mom both were like, we need to get you a dog. Your mental health is so much better when you have something to take care of. So my parents kind of surprised me with him over Thanksgiving break when I went home to Kentucky, Osmus says. Assistant Vice President for Student Affairs and Dean of Students Corey Benson said he'd heard Osmus was getting a dog and wanted to know how she'd feel about Ghost being a therapy dog for UTPB. She wanted to see if he had the personality for it first. He loves people. He comes to school with me at least once a week. He sits in my classes with me. He's gone on a couple of crisis calls for some suicidality so far, and he's done amazing, Osmus said. Ghost is a 7-month-old white husky. He's going through his basic obedience training and will test for his canine good citizen and then test for his therapy dog certificate with the Alliance for Therapy Dogs when he hits a year old in July. He's got a lot of energy and a lot of things to say all of the time, Osmus said. He loves people, loves students, loves giving kisses. That's his thing. Once he is certified, she'll be able to take Ghost to school events. Right now, you can see him walking around on campus, and he goes to some events, but not all because he's still a puppy. You'll see him up in the counseling center, so he'll be available for students to come in, come pet, come love on. Also, he may get involved in the counseling practicum clinic, so members in the community can come hang out with him as well, Osmus said. She would also like to take Ghost to hospitals and retirement communities. On a recent Monday, Ghost was a little rowdy because he hadn't taken his long walk yet. Osmus said he usually logs 100 minutes of walking and running daily. Different dogs serve different purposes. Service dogs have to be let into certain buildings, and they have a specific medical purpose. Emotional support animals are just for one person for mental health matters, and therapy dogs basically get love from everyone, support everyone. It doesn't matter who, she said. Osmus said she was planning to train her dog, Goggles, to become a therapy dog, but he didn't have the personality for it. He loved me. He didn't love other people. But he, Ghost, loves everyone, as you can tell, she said. Osmus said there has been a lot of research done on therapy animals. A lot of college counseling centers are starting to incorporate them into their services. I worked at a college counseling center when I was in my master's program in Indiana. We had a therapy dog come once a week and hang out in the counseling center. A golden retriever named Jed, and the students absolutely went wild over him. Then we also had an equine therapy program where one of our counselors worked on a ranch. She had a bunch of horses, so we would bus the kids out to the farm around midterms, finals, and let them go hang out with the horses for an hour, hour and a half, Osmus said. Ghost will be around during exams at UTPB. He hangs out with Benson, President Sandra Woodley, Provost and Executive Vice President for Academic Affairs Susan Ganter, and Senior Vice President for Student Affairs and Enrollment Management Becky Spurlock. Benson is Ghost's emergency contact person. Osmus earned her bachelor's degree in English and psychology from the University of Kentucky, her master's degree in clinical mental health counseling, and master's in sports psychology from Ball State University in Muncie, Indiana. and she did her PhD in counseling education at Auburn University. She has been at UTPB since August. I came because I loved the master's program here. I love that we have a practicum clinic, which she believes trains and prepares students well, Osmus said. She has always grown up with dogs. We always had two or three running around, Osmus said. Transient dies following dumpster accident. An Odessa transient, believed to be in his 20s, was killed Thursday morning in what appears to be a freak accident. Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffiths said an initial investigation has determined that the man was inside a dumpster at West University Boulevard and North Roundup Avenue when a trash truck arrived around 6 a.m. Surveillance video shows the man jumping from the dumpster as it was almost to the point of dumping into the truck, and he struck his head on the pavement, Griffiths said. A store clerk described the man as a transient, but authorities are withholding his name until an autopsy can confirm his identity, Griffiths said. Back in September, a 47-year-old Odessa woman digging in a dumpster on West 42nd Street suffered injuries to her back and head when she ended up in the back of a garbage truck for 2 hours. An Andrews man, who was sentenced to 2 life prison sentences in December in the death of his girlfriend, will not be getting a new trial. Defense attorney Michael McLeish argued Humberto Polanco, 37, was entitled to a new trial because jurors convicted him of murder and failing to stop and render aid at an accident involving death. McLeish argued Polanco's victim didn't die twice. Ector County District Court Judge Justin Lowe denied the motion Wednesday. Prosecutors presented evidence Polanco purposely struck Veronica Carrillo, 38, with a Chevrolet Tahoe near 16th Street and Moss on December 20, 2020, and left her to die. The jury sentenced Polanco to the maximum prison sentence on each charge, 2 life sentences and 20 years in prison, and Lowe ordered each of the sentences to be run concurrently. Polanco will have to serve at least 30 years before becoming eligible for parole. In his motion, McLeish called the results of the trial and sentences ridiculous. Defendant believes the record supports that Veronica Carrillo is dead. She died as a result of murder or as a result of an accident. It cannot be both, McLeish wrote. The defendant was convicted of intentionally and knowingly murdering Veronica Carrillo. The defendant was also convicted of leaving the scene of an accident involving death. Veronica Carrillo did not die twice. Threats shut down Andrews High School. Andrews High School was evacuated Thursday after the police department received a bomb threat and multiple threats of gun violence toward the school. Bomb squads from the Midland and Odessa police departments searched the school and found no explosives or other devices. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, personnel from the Andrews Police Sheriff's Department, DPS, and Gaines County Sheriff's Office evacuated the school, and parents were asked to pick up their students on the east side of Mustang Bowl Stadium after the calls were received at 11 a.m. Low attendance hurting ECISD finances. The impact of lower attendance on Ector County ISD finances, the demographic study, and an influx of new students were tackled by Superintendent Scott Murray during his media call Wednesday. During the February 21st board meeting, the board approved a $13 million budget adjustment. This is due in large part to attendance. Historically, over the last 5 to 10 years, Ector County Independent School District has been operating with a 95% attendance rate. In other words, our students have been coming to school approximately 95% of the time, Murray said. When the pandemic hit, the attendance rate dropped to about 90%. But this year, we fully anticipated our attendance rate to bounce back to 95%. We created a budget based upon that prediction. Unfortunately, our student attendance rate did not return to that level. In fact, the first semester, our attendance rate was at 91.5%. And what that resulted in is a $13 million budget adjustment. We had to reduce our budget by $13 million, Murray said. In the state of Texas, the way we are funded is based on student attendance, so every single day that a child attends school results in an amount of money flowing to the local school district. So children not attending school, that affects directly our budget. We saw that last night. That's the unfortunate news. The good news is, over the last couple of years, we've managed to save money in anticipation of this type of emergency. However, last night, we used that emergency fund. Next year, this is not a situation that we'll be able to take care of, and so it is really important that our families and community understand that student attendance affects us from a financial perspective, and it affects students from an academic perspective. We know that when students are not attending school regularly, it does affect their academic progress, Murray added. He noted that there is a direct correlation between student attendance and student achievement. The more days a student misses, the lower the academic rate and achievement levels are for those students, so the district wants to ensure that students are attending school on a regular basis. Murray said if families need assistance getting their children to school, the district has counselors, social workers, and other community resources that can help. So moms and dads, if you're struggling with this opportunity, I strongly encourage you to reach out to your child's principal, connect with the school. We have lots of ways we can provide assistance to help you support your child in attending school on a regular basis, he says. Murray said teachers and principals are already trying to give students incentive to come to school. The budget cut won't affect this year because they had the money to cover it in the fund balance. We did some early work in the last couple of years anticipating, because of the pandemic, that we could experience an attendance issue. And sure enough, we did. We had created enough space in our fund balance to take care of this problem, Murray said. However, next year we will not have that space. Our attendance has to be rebound, or we will have to think differently about how we use our money, because we will not have $13 million in our fund balance next year to take care of this problem, he added. Trustees on February 21st also approved the 2023-24 academic calendar, so Murray encouraged parents to visit the ECISD website at www.ectorcountyisd.org to find out more information about the calendar. ECISD operates its own educator preparation program, so it is able to certify and license teachers. It is one of three districts in Texas that does this. And finally, our work with the National Board of Professional Teaching Standards. The way that we are growing and developing our teacher corps so that they can become board certified, Murray said. Murray also discussed an influx of students from Cuba and South America. We've seen an influx, again, going back to the population demographic study. We're seeing more kids come into our system, and we have seen a large Cuban population come to enter our community and our schools, and certainly a little bit of a smaller population of South America. Our schools pre-K through 12th grade have talked about that. Our opportunity is to serve those children and their families to the very best of our ability, Murray said. It does not cause us to be flexible. Different countries have different cultures. So when we receive students from a different country that bring into our environment a different culture, we want to be very responsive in a protective manner to our kids, whether they're from Cuba or Mexico or any country that a child may be entering our school system, and be responsive to them and help them with their needs, and we're doing that. It certainly has caused us to pivot and to shift, if you will. I won't say that we're overwhelmed by any means, but it does cause us to make sure that we have the right people in the right places with the right training to effectively meet the needs of a growing population in our school system, wherever they may happen to come from, Murray said. He added that the priority is serving those students. We need more bilingual teachers. Our English learner population continues to increase, more and more of those students need those services. So we're from a human capital perspective, focused on developing and cultivating more bilingual teachers so we can more effectively meet the needs of those students. Then from a facility perspective, as we're growing and gaining more students, we have to make sure we have schools in the right locations to meet the needs of the students wherever they happen to be in our community, he added. Odessa Chamber of Commerce launches National Civics Bee. February 24th is deadline for the essay contest sponsored by Odessa Chamber of Commerce. The essay contest is the first step of the 2023 National Civics Bee, an initiative aimed at encouraging more young Americans to engage in civics and contribute to their communities. Organized in partnership with the Civic Trust of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation, this competition will inspire middle schoolers to become better informed about American democracy, to engage respectfully and constructively in the community, and to build greater trust in others and institutions. Middle school students from public, private, charter, and home schools are invited to take part in the first round civics essay competition. After a distinguished panel reviews the 500-word essays, the top 20 students will be selected to move on to the final round of competition, a live quiz event to test their civics knowledge. More information about the time and location of this event will be released at a later date. The finalists and top winners will receive various prizes, including $500 cash for the first place student, a news release said. In recent years, Americans' civics knowledge has fallen significantly, with 47% not being able to name all three branches of government. At the same time, 76% of 8th graders scored below proficient in civics. Carolyn Cawley, president of the U.S. Chamber Foundation, said in a news release, "Despite these disturbing numbers, studies show that simple interventions, such as taking a civics class early in academic life, can make a big difference in becoming active, informed, and responsible citizens. This is exactly what we hope to achieve with the National Civics Bee, to inspire a new generation of Americans to be civically engaged and active in shaping the future of our communities and our nation." The deadline for student essay submissions is Friday, February 24th. For more information on the essay topic, competition, rules, and prizes, and to submit your essay, visit https://bit.ly/3xmreng. To your good health, Dr. Roach. Topical steroid best for treatment of oral lichen planus. Dear Dr. Roach, is there anything I can do to relieve the pain and suffering from oral lichen planus? Anon. Answer. Nobody knows what causes lichen planus, an uncommon, less than 1% of people, skin condition that may also affect the mouth or vagina. It most often occurs during the ages of 30 to 60. It is more common in people with a history of hepatitis C. Medical students are taught the four P's of lichen planus. Pruritus, itchy, often intensely itchy, purple, polygonal, plaques, raised lesions. The plaques often have fine white lines, especially in the condition you are asking about, oral lichen planus. Oral lichen planus often causes pain, especially when eating. The most effective treatment for oral lichen planus is potent topical corticosteroid, which is clobetasol, usually placed on the affected areas with a cotton swab. There are some techniques for keeping the medicine on the affected areas that your dermatologist can tell you about. People who do not respond to topical steroids, it can take a couple of months to get maximum effect, are usually treated with more powerful medicine, such as tacrolimus. In my experience, lichen planus is usually relieved by treatment, though perhaps not 100%. In most people, lichen planus mysteriously disappears within a few years of it coming on. To your good health with Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida 32853-6475.
Dear Abby, I am a first-generation Mexican-American who married into a Caucasian-blended family. My husband, my stepdaughter, Lisa, and her mother and stepfather make up a beautiful unit. I have no children. Although my family initially ruffled at my interracial marriage, they got with the program, so much so that we invited Lisa to partake in a coming-of-age rite, the quinceañera. We were excited to update and modify it as much as possible so all sets of parents, grandparents, and other family could be involved. Suddenly, when Lisa was 14, a year before the quinceañera, when planning should be ramped up, not down, my extended family went into radio silence. Despite our attempts to encourage, coach, and generate excitement, we were led to believe that Lisa had gotten cold feet and was reconsidering the event. We honored her wishes and planned to find other ways to make her feel special. 2 weeks before her 15th birthday, Lisa sent me an invitation for her quinceañera. Abby, words cannot express how heartbroken I feel. I was supposed to teach her about the cultural significance of what she was embarking on. I attended anyway, making sure to shower her with praise and put on a good face. However, in addition to being devastated, I was deeply offended. Of course, because no one bothered to check in, many features of the rite were handled improperly. I've been holding my tongue for Lisa's sake, since I'm afraid this could cause a rift with her mother. What I don't want is for Lisa to think my feelings have anything to do with something she may have done. For the sake of peace, is continued silence better? Madre de la quinceañera. Dear Madre, your feelings of hurt and frustration are understandable, but Lisa chose to celebrate her birthday the way she and her mom wanted, and that was her privilege. Rather than give the girl an authentic quinceañera and an understanding of the meaning of that milestone, it appears her mother and stepfather opted instead for quinceañera light. Do not pick a fight over this. Move on. But do continue to share with Lisa everything you have to offer, your wisdom, your experience, and your cultural heritage, from now on. Dear Abby, I have been in a domestic partnership for more than 30 years. I have suggested couples counseling for the past 10 of them, but my partner has never followed through. I'm willing to give all my assets to her so I won't worry about her future financial needs, but I don't know how to leave her without getting into an ugly war, which will make me feel guilty. Please advise. Walking on eggshells. Dear Walking, because this domestic partnership is no longer working, I do have a couple of suggestions. The first is to talk with a licensed mental health professional about the guilt you are feeling. Do this before you decide to give away the store. My other suggestion is to consult an attorney about what kind of settlement would be fair to both of you before signing over any assets.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.